Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, Episode 510, Rambo, Last Blood.
One can only hope.
Part one.
Part one. Oh, God. The next one will be Lastest Blood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves. This is Joey.
Oh, good Lord.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs before we dig in. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also, while you're at one of those services, well, I guess not Spotify, but the rest of them, you could rate and review, but you can absolutely subscribe at all of them. You can also check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can also leave a review for us and join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the league this week: Lane Levanway, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Griffin Fox Smith, Librarian Cynthia, Tom Comiskey, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Ron Johnson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Gabriel Lugo, Aaron Marlowe, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, and Ralph Triple. So thank you very much for supporting the show. We appreciate that tremendously. And one other way you could support the show is Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and the pride in knowing you helped out.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
Thank
we
you.
Do. Yes. So I guess let's dig into Rambo.
Whoa. What? Okay.
Have you liked it thus far? I'm gauging that you did not like this movie.
I hated this movie.
Interesting. So
up until the end.
Yeah.
Like the end sequence is fun.
Right.
Getting to the end sequence was a slog and a piece of garbage.
It definitely was. Did you like the last Rambo movie?
Yeah, I did.
Rambo movie was awesome.
Which is great.
Okay, so I was just having this conversation. It's so strange to see Stallone, who has these two franchises,
right,
where the first entry is next level filmmaking.
Right.
Oscar level.
Those are films.
Yes, those are films.
Yeah.
And both of those franchises, when you get to part two, become action movies.
Well, I think Rocky II, I felt like, was still pretty grounded in the cinematic style of the first Rocky.
That is true.
But from three on, it's a cartoon.
From three to Creed.
From three until Rocky Balboa.
Oh, that's fair.
Went back, I think, to the filmmaking style and feel of the original Rocky. But three, four, and five.
Or superhero, or cartoons.
Yeah, they're cartoons.
Yes. Look, not going to lie. I love Rocky IV. Everybody loves Rocky IV, except for Tom.
Yeah, Rocky IV is amazing. Yeah.
But yes, they are cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Rambo is the same way.
I mean, Rambo literally became a cartoon.
Legitimately became a cartoon.
It was a Saturday morning cartoon.
It was a comic book.
Has there ever been, and I don't know off the top of my head, normally I know my Saturday morning cartoon trivia, that's a phrase that kids will never understand.
No kidding.
Saturday morning cartoons.
They really won't.
Like they're that just like, but they're just what? Like your phone only worked on Saturday
mornings?
Are those
mornings like, Wednesday morning cartoons?
Yeah, right.
It's probably for
It's my
for our children, it's tantamount to like when my grandma would refer to the car as the machine.
Sure.
Right? Hand me my billfold.
Yeah, right. Wow. Get up and go change the channel.
Yeah, what's in the ice box?
The ice box,
it's
yeah.
like that. So
the sales circular.
Yeah. So has there ever been another Saturday morning cartoon? Oh, I thought of one. Based on an R-rated film franchise.
Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger. That's what. But beyond that.
RoboCop?
There was definitely a RoboCop cartoon.
RoboCop.
Was the first Swamp Thing rated R?
I think it was PG because there was boobs, but very
brief. Adrian Barr boobs, yeah.
Yeah, and you could get away with like one
that's right.
boob shot in a PG movie back then.
That's right. So there was that. Oh, man. So when I was a kid, it was He-Man, G.I. Joe.
It was Superman. They would invent toys and then turn them
Transformers,
into cartoons.
Yeah. But then we also had Bill and Ted. We had Teen Wolf, Back to the Future, Toxic Avenger, Rambo, Swamp Thing. Not that I can think of, but those two.
My favorites were always Dick Tracy and Rocky Bullwinkle. I loved all the classic.
Those were, but I mean, I'm thinking of the ones that were actually on Saturdays.
I know,
I watched Super Friends. Yeah.
I have DVD box sets of all the Rocky and Bullwinkles, all the Scooby Doo's, the original ones like Scooby Doo, Where Are You? Like, I always loved the old classic.
Yeah. Oh, cartoons. Totally. But I mean, to answer your question, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't.
There aren't many.
And it's just weird to look at both of those. One actor. Two franchises that have done a 180.
I mean, for an A-list actor, a big name, above the title actor.
Absolutely.
Outside of these two franchises,
yes,
he doesn't really have a lot of hits.
Expendables made a ton of money. He kind of got his own other little franchise
that's true.
Too.
Yeah.
There's three of them, and they all make money.
Wow, I guess that's true.
I mean, maybe if we... And I also feel like sometimes I look back at movies that I didn't think were hits and I find out that they were hits.
Yeah.
And that it's like they didn't necessarily tap into the zeitgeist in the same way that Rocky or
back
Rambo
then, man,
did. But like you could still make money. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think of Rambo...
Like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies where we're just like, it's so bad and most people recognize that it's not a good movie, but it made a ton of money. That's kind of I mean, I guess maybe it's at least currently, maybe it's touched a few more people. It's reached more people.
And not in a fun way.
Well, but I mean, that's kind of that thing where you look back and you're just like, oh, it's so bad. It must have flopped or it must have not done well.
Right.
Like, holy cow, it made a ton of money.
Right,
well, like, I think of Rocky 3 as a flop. And
that's coming off Rocky 2,
really?
Though.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Rambo 3.
Oh.
Yeah. And but when I looked it up,
yeah,
I mean it. I think they made it for like $86 or $90 million, something like that.
Oh, wow!
But worldwide, it made like at the time it was the most expensive movie ever
made.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, that was a big budget for
movie. Yeah. And but worldwide, it made like $228 million, something like that.
Those dudes back then, those '80s action stars,
yeah,
they just needed a franchise.
Yeah,
and I mean Schwarzenegger has two. Legitimate ones,
yeah.
Terminator and Predator.
Man, I don't consider Terminator a successful franchise. I consider Terminator two hit movies, and maybe the other ones were eking out wins, but
barely.
Nobody's got any love for anything past Terminator two.
No, but when you look at
you keep thinking of two, like when you're like, I love Terminator, like I'm excited for the next one. Two is so good, like it's just it's all
but
lives
he
there.
He has become synonymous with that role.
Sure,
obviously he is synonymous with Dutch. Stallone, Rocky,
but I don't think so. And the way, like, you love action movies, so I think we know Predator, right? But Predator is not a super.
I disagree
with action junkies.
I honestly, when you said Dutch, I was like, "Who the hell are you talking about?"
Oh, really?
I had no idea.
Predator
what you were talking
is
about.
I
thought his
cult
name was Predator.
Action.
Predator.
Yeah, run.
It
Predator?
Really is like a cult action movie. Predator is not the level of Terminator or Alien or I mean. Predator.
Well, I'm thinking of like okay, so Bruce Willis. Is John McClane.
Yeah.
Like, he'll always be John McClane. Seagal.
And David Addison.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
For you and your crew.
but like, Kurt Russell. Well, Kurt Russell is Snake and Captain Ron, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Santa Claus. But like, those guys in the 80s, they needed like one. Yeah. And Stallone has two.
But like, yeah, Schwarzenegger was more of a
tried
guy.
Tried to get Cobra off the ground.
So they're talking to Blumhouse about doing another Cobra. And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Like, why, with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Why wouldn't we do this? Because that's a good movie.
Because
I like Cobra a lot.
He looks 100. Like, he does.
So that works in this movie?
I mean, it's fine for obviously the aging guy. And I mean, I'm not trying to be offensive or just judge him based on his looks, but the old man action thing, like, as it gets more and more and more, he just looks tired. It's like, so okay, for this one, much like with a Logan, you know, where Logan's supposed to look tired, and eventually, you know, what happens in that movie,
which should have happened in this movie.
But it's like that's, I get that. It's, you know, to kind of send him out to pasture, you know, the last blood, the last chapter in a movie. But for him to keep coming back and do action movies, like, I guess 10 years ago, Expendables was 2010, so 9 years ago. Okay, so he was like just barely 60-something, okay, and he still had it. But like in the next 10 years, though, I mean, that's a big difference in aging, and I just think it's starting to be a little ridiculous.
I think it worked in The Expendables because he was covered up the entire time. Yeah. And then it worked in Rocky because he's supposed to be the old man fighting the young dude. Like, that works.
Yeah.
It works in Creed 1 and 2. Because he's the mentor.
He's the old
and he's,
mentor.
He's covered
totally.
Up. Like, you
I'm,
know,
not saying,
you know.
I'm not saying old people can't act.
And you're
that
not expecting him to fight.
Yeah. That's, but, like, in, but to your point, like the old man action
movies.
Yeah,
but
you know,
you
I'm
know
not
what I mean? Like, I'm not
fight.
Saying, like, you know, Donald Sutherland can't be in dramatic roles anymore.
Can I see
anymore.
Donald Sutherland, like, fight somebody? That'd be great.
But, you know, it's the thing is that when you get to a certain age, you usually stop. And that's why this novelty came around. That's why there's 3 Expendables movies. He started that old man action.
Right.
Then we had Sean Penn.
Well, wait.
John Wayne started the old man action.
Well, okay.
Taken kind of was like the old man, the beginning.
Okay,
of that, right?
That was around the same time too. I mean, I guess it's not as hardcore, but you're right; it's an action movie. But I mean, I just mean this resurgence. Like all of a sudden, you got all this stuff, and then Stallone and you know Schwarzenegger's done with his politics, and he's back to acting. And all of a sudden, now you have you know Sean Penn jumps into it.
Oh
and,
man, that was a bad.
And
movie.
Liam Neeson, that's his thing, and so we keep getting these things. But like, I just think that as he gets older and older, I mean, every year it's like, I mean, and he's kept in great shape and made some awesome movies for a long time. But
HGH is a hell of a drug.
But at some point,
is he still
though,
doing that?
It has to.
Yeah.
If he's going to get that. I mean, I think he,
I don't know,
he
you
probably
don't see him.
You don't see him in this one. But like, I remember.
I feel like maybe he's toned it down.
Probably.
A little, but
he, I remember like he took his shirt off or something. We're just like, Jesus Christ.
But I don't know. I just at some point I think it just gets to be a little goofy. Like I feel like, okay, you did that. You did all these action movies. I know that's probably hard for a guy like him who's built his career on that.
Yeah.
But at some point I think he needs to turn his career to the Creed and Creed 2s, you know, those type of movies because he still can be a great actor in those roles. But, I mean, when he's 80.
I mean, he got nominated for an Academy Award for Creed. He was really good in Creed.
He was great in Creed. I mean,
he's good. I mean, like, I when I think great, like,
okay, he's really good.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not trying to disparage his performance because I enjoyed it, but it's not like you've ever walked out of a movie and been like,
good lord,
that was Sylvester Stallone.
Sure,
but I thought Creed was like next level though because you could feel the pain in Rocky Balboa's eyes. I mean, I feel like his performance, Creed, was the best of all time.
Yeah, the droopy eyes.
But, I'm pretty sure they're lifted, Joe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, right.
But, so I just, that's all I'll say on that. But it's just starting to be like, okay, please don't make another one of these. Like,
So here's the thing is like, the last Rambo, like, it just, it went back to like those down and dirty 80s.
Right.
Low, not lower level, but lower budget. Action movies.
Right. And the other thing because I really enjoyed the last Rambo movie.
That was a great action movie.
And for ease, we will just refer to it as Rambo 4.
Sure.
Even though it's not.
Always call it Rambo 4. That's just.
You know, one of the things I liked about that movie, and I wish this movie had gone down that path, is I felt like in a lot of ways that movie was almost an apology on some levels for Rocky 2 and Rocky 3. God dang it, Rambo 2 and Rambo 3.
What do you mean?
And why is that? I don't remember the other Rambos other than the first one and the fourth.
So the first one, like we said, it was more of like, that's like 70s cinema. It's like kind of like the last
Easy
gasp
Rider,
of 70s cinema, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Rambo 2, becomes
cocaine fueled action movie.
Becomes just he's just a flat out action hero.
Yes.
You know, it's screenplay co-written by James Cameron.
Right.
Like, you know,
there's a reason that Rambo 2 is as good as it is.
Right. And Cameron, I was reading up on it. He had a great quote where they asked him about that movie and he was like, he's like, the action is mine. The politics are Stallone.
Well, and I have questions about this one.
Yeah.
Big time.
So the third one was just even more so of an action movie.
Yes.
But like I still think I liked this one better than Rambo 3.
Oh, man.
But those 3 and 5, I think, are the bottom.
3 and barrel. Oh, sure. Yeah.
This one's 5.
Yeah, so, right.
This one has some really bad writing and really bad performances.
It also has some really questionable choices about your villains.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say, this is a right-wing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, through and through.
But
it's
Rambo, Rambo's always been weird in that. So, like, that's why I thought the fourth one was kind of an apology. Like they turned what was originally not a right-wing movie into a very right-wing film franchise.
Right.
And that's okay. Like it's okay to have those. Like,
it's your creation. You know, you do whatever you want.
But the fourth one was, and I don't want to say it was an apology for those movies. I think that's maybe a little too strong. But I think it was kind of putting them in a larger context of, like, we choose sides in wars and those sides change.
Right.
And then we sometimes look back and regret sides we chose, right?
Right.
And because that fourth one, it's like he doesn't want to be involved. He's telling people
secluded.
To leave.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of this war that, like, they don't even try to explain. He's just basically like, these two sides are fighting. You don't know what they're fighting about, and you don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
You should go home. Right.
And then he is kind of the retired conservative.
Shane.
Yeah, he is Shane.
He's Shane.
He's the retired conservative guy, and you've got these
missionaries,
hard-leaning left liberals coming in saying, we can fix it. We can do this.
We know what's best for you.
Yeah.
I don't think they were born again Christians. They were missionaries.
Were they?
They were missionaries. Yeah. I watched
okay.
all
okay.
four over the last 2 weeks. And wow. And they were
just missionaries.
They were missionaries.
Okay.
Thinking that they were on a humanitarian, you know, aid thing. And he was like,
don't go there.
This is dumb.
Okay.
You're not going to change these people. And you're just going to endanger yourselves while you do.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And I always, because Rambo has certainly been embraced by conservatives.
Yeah.
And it's always mystified me.
Sure.
Because if you look at this franchise, the first one.
Yeah.
Killing cops.
Well, one.
Okay, we only see one get killed.
That's true.
But there's no
way.
Well,
we only know there's five on that department.
But they bring in all the state troopers and the National Guard.
And he didn't kill that one. That dude just fell off a helicopter.
Right, but he's fighting cops. Like, cops
yes,
are dirty, and
absolutely.
They're bad, and we can't trust them, and they hate Vietnam vets, which anyway doesn't even make any sense, because in that point,
they wouldn't have.
The force was probably Vietnam vets.
No, they probably, I mean, they would have been like World War II vets.
Well, but there would have
Korean
been
War
the
vets.
Younger ones
but
probably would have been Vietnam
got,
vets.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, because the war had been over for 8 years at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I guess that's
you know?
True. Yeah.
So,
and he just wanted to get some food.
He just wanted to get
and
some food.
And he was literally just walking through the town. Like, he's not
second,
doing anything.
Second Rambo.
Yeah.
Okay. The second Rambo, he is sent on a worthless mission that
yes.
he's expected to lose and abandoned behind enemy lines by the Reagan administration.
Correct.
Okay. Third one.
Well, this is the one that everybody goes back to.
Partners up with the Taliban.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So that didn't age well. They were the Mujahideen at the time, but they become the Taliban.
Right.
And which I think made 4 so effective. Like, it didn't reference that he had teamed up with what became the Taliban, but it did kind of end up painting that franchise a certain way.
It did.
And
yeah.
I felt like that was a good kind of like way to kind of pull out of that to be like, yeah, like the people you think are good guys 20 years later,
not the good guys.
They're your enemies
yeah.
and you don't know.
Right.
And like, maybe this isn't the way to go.
I mean, they were fighting the Russians. So
yeah.
that still holds true.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Does it? Are we allowed? I thought we loved the Russians.
Well, some of us, some people
some of
do.
Us do. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us do.
Depends if we give any information to a, you know, election or anything.
Right. So, like, I thought the fourth one really was a good kind of bookend for how this, franchise.
You can
moved
see
through
you,
time.
You can see the fourth one is definitely like the broken man, made the wrong decisions, because he has to know, even if so. Rambo 3 is like, what, 90, 88?
I think it's 88.
Okay. So you have to believe that in the next 20 years, he sees 9/11 happen. You know, if we're just judging on the time.
Right.
And he can...
88.
Okay. So he can, as the Rambo character, be like, Jesus Christ. Like,
right.
Everything I know is wrong. I made the wrong decisions every single time. I helped these guys out.
And, like, he did...
Not saying that I feel responsible for 9/11, right. But, like...
And I don't think that... If Rambo is a conservative, and I feel like he probably is.
Judging by this one, I'd say absolutely.
Yeah, I don't feel like Rambo 4 changed his politics. I don't feel like Rambo 4 flipped him from right to left. I feel like it flipped him from right to apolitical.
Yeah.
To where it's like when you get involved, and when I say conservative, I don't mean even conservative from like your moral beliefs, although
sure.
I think he is, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean conservative from a foreign policy standpoint.
Do you think men and women of that era tend to lean to the right more so? Like growing up in the 70s, I guess, like, you know, going through Vietnam, going through all that stuff, is there a larger demographic? Well, obviously there is, given the last election.
Well, people always tend to get more conservative as they age.
That's
like,
something.
That's always
yeah,
been
right,
kind
right,
of
right.
A thing.
Sure.
You know?
Okay.
But Reagan was very popular. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there's. I always think of that joke from Dennis Miller when he talks about the Reagan-Mondale election, and he's like, Mondale got 3 electoral votes, and he's like, that's only 3 more than I got, and I wasn't even running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it's good. Like, I mean, like, that's. I don't think you'll ever see.
It was him and Nixon, right? Like Nixon ran away with Run too.
Yeah, Nixon had a pretty big landslide that second time, which is what made Watergate so dumb.
Right,
like, he didn't need to do any of it, but yeah. So it's like I don't know that we'll ever see a president win in that sweeping of a.
Not unless there's nobody running on the other side,
right? Yeah, but But anyway, so it's always mystified me that Rambo's been so embraced by the conservative movement when it's like, when you look back, it's like, he shoots cops or shoots at cops.
Yeah.
He partners with the Taliban.
Right.
He's abandoned by the Reagan administration. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, why?
Because they don't know any better.
Why do they embrace this character so much? Reagan name checked the Rambo franchise like 4 or 5 times in speeches.
You know, you turned your back on Rambo.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, I also think it's interesting that, like, you know, like, you could separate Hollywood from politics in a way back then that you can't today.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Rambo 2 had come out today, people would be outraged.
Sure.
Like, because, you know, like, this is just trying to make the president look bad. Like, everyone would have been so outraged.
Yeah, you can't tell those stories.
Right. And like, and here they're telling that story. And Reagan loves the movie. Reagan didn't look at it and go, well, I'm the president and you made me. Then you're saying that I authorized this. Like, it's like, no, the movie just isn't saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's
no, totally.
And so I find it fascinating that especially the first two, because the third one coming out in real time was pretty standard, like Russians are bad. Let's
right.
go. We're going to partner up with the people that don't like the Russians.
Oh, wait, I
it didn't age
he
well.
He fights the Russians twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Russians are in 2 as
right.
well.
Well, he also fights them in Rocky 4.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but that's every movie did. That was the threat back then.
Totally.
Like,
oh, yeah,
Russia
absolutely.
Was the bad.
Yeah, right.
But if Rambo 1 had come out in today's, or First Blood had come out today, the right wing would have eviscerated it because
yep.
of how it treated cops. If Rambo 2 had come out today, they would have eviscerated it because how it treated a sitting conservative president.
Right.
Sure. But I think that's the bigger problem is today everyone
yeah.
is offended by everything. Everything is a controversy today. You can't make a point without being controversial
yes.
in
people's
eyes.
Someone will complain about everything I just said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure.
And they can suck it.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it'd be different if you were just like making things up.
Yeah.
But it's just like it's there. It's on screen. Like, you can see it happen.
But, you know, I think that's also a good point, though, is that, you know, we're viewing this movie through modern eyes. And if we saw those movies back then when they were released.
I did.
Yeah. but did you think those things back then, or are those new opinions? Did you recognize what they were saying back
then?
No,
I didn't. Now, okay. Rambo 2 came out, what, in 85? I was 14, 15 years old.
85.
You know? But it also propagates what a lot of people have come to think is the myth of, like, you know, spitting on returning Vietnam soldiers, which there are apparently no contemporaneous accounts of. All that started to come 10 years later. I've been reading on this.
Oh,
it's
really?
Fascinating. And that there are no contemporaneous accounts of that occurring.
Huh.
That those are all like it. Those started to become like. They started to bubble up about 10 years after the war, but this guy wrote a whole book about it.
Okay.
And he's like, I can't find anything.
Like saying that it didn't happen?
Yeah. And he's saying, like, here's the thing. He's like, I can't tell you that in a country of 400 million people, there was never an incident.
Sure.
But, like, for it to have been, like, if you were to believe what you see in movies and TV, like, we just had, you know, legions of hippies waiting at the airport
sure.
to spit on soldiers. And, like,
well, wasn't that it? Didn't Jane Fonda do that? Wasn't
no, Jane Fonda partnered with the Viet Cong.
Oh, right.
Like, I mean, that happened. She's got a
Hanoi
picture
Jane.
In a yeah. tank with the Viet Cong. Like,
right.
that happened.
Okay.
And that yeah. was
that's messed
dumb.
Up.
That was and
I
wrong.
Still, yeah, I still don't respect her for
yeah,
anything
like
she
that
did.
Was
I'll never.
Bold
yeah.
move.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
they're over there killing our people. Like, I get if you're against war, but you don't go hang out with them.
Yeah.
That's
you mean like
wrong.
Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un?
I don't remember. I don't recall that incident.
There's like pictures
oh, yeah.
of them together.
He was hanging out.
Yeah.
With, yeah. But
well, then I guess I'll have to give up my fandom of Dennis Rodman.
But like with the whole spitting on soldiers thing, like Rambo 2, I mean, he talks about that.
Sure.
You know, or maybe it's the first Blood.
It's
about
the first
it,
one
yeah.
where he's, yeah,
but,
he's talking to Dennehy and all those guys.
But, you know, if you think about it just logically, and I read an article that made this point, I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. They're like, paint this in the stereotypes of which you're envisioning it. You got this tough military guy,
yeah,
full of PTSD, fresh off the plane, walking through an airport, and then a dirty hippie spits on him.
That hippie's dead.
That hippie's dead.
Yeah, right.
Like, that hippie's dead. Every time that happens, you get a dead hippie. Like, there's no version of events where this guy, fresh off the
and
plane
takes it.
From Vietnam, just goes, I guess my country hates me now. Single tear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that just that
the
makes
single,
no,
the single tear is coming from that hippie after it gets kicked in the...
Right. Yeah. It makes no logical sense. Like, when you actually stop and think about it, that paradigm is completely illogical.
Yeah, that's very true. I never
right.
thought about
I never
like,
have either, and I was
that
just
would
like,
never happen.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, it
like
didn't.
They would just beat that hippie to a pulp.
One army vet coming back from Vietnam kicks the bejesus out of six hippies that have like decided
yeah.
to take a stand against the you know
and I don't
what
think,
he was drafted
if,
to do.
Even if the hippie wanted to, I don't think they'd have the balls to.
No. No,
like
I'm a pacifist. Cool. Here's my fist in your mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's also I don't want to go do some research about the creation of the POW movement and the MIA movement, more specifically.
Oh,
like it's pretty fascinating.
Interesting
that, you know, you really didn't have MIA in wars before Vietnam because it was KIA, body not recovered.
Oh,
and they flipped it to MIA, and then people were like, yeah, where are they? And it's just like, well, but they're pilots that got shot down. Like,
right.
Where are you going to go find them? Like,
in the water?
Yeah. And, you know, and so then it became this whole thing of like, well, we have to get them back. And Vietnam was like, but we don't even know what you're talking about. And if you think about it, again, a little logic, why?
Yeah.
Like why would the government of Vietnam 40 years later be like, we're keeping these 50 guys?
Yeah, these are ours now.
Like, we love paying for them. We love keeping them over here in this room.
Finders keepers.
Like, the only reason you take POWs
is in war.
Is for leverage.
Right.
Right? And you trade them back and forth, and you can negotiate. You want these guys, and we want this thing. But to just keep them forever?
And
like,
feed and clothe them?
Is it a conspiracy theory? What is this?
Probably a little bit.
It's just,
they think they are still prisoners of war over there?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of this.
Wait. I mean, no. What do you think POW/MIA is? They think that there are still people missing in action that are being held over there.
You can get you.
Yeah,
can,
but I've heard of POWs, but not in this context.
Yeah, I didn't think that people still thought that there were people you over
can,
there.
Yeah.
You can get a license plate that still talks about POWs. Am I like in the
well,
state
I
felt like
that
was
that
just like, the,
any,
like a commemorative.
Yeah,
thing.
That could be for any war, though. I mean,
I
never.
I mean, at this point, I'm sure most people are like, well, they would probably have died of old age.
Sure,
you know, especially if they were being kept in these rat infested conditions that they're imagining. But still, if you read up on it, it's pretty interesting.
Huh.
Just about how it was created, how it took on a life of its own, how there are so many people that spent decades thinking that maybe they were still alive. And,
weird.
And you know when. In any other war previous, they were pretty much just killed in action, body not recovered. But we haven't talked about the movie yet.
That's probably for the
I'm
best.
I'm sure I've pissed off a lot of people.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one kind of opens up back at the same house that Rambo 4 ends on with John walking.
Does it? I don't remember how he got...
So yeah, at the end of Rambo 4, he comes back... He mutilates and turns literal people into goo.
He liquefies
Burmese rebels.
Yeah, right.
And then he saves the missionaries, and then he comes back to the States.
Okay.
And he's walking up to a house. Like, he's wearing the same outfit that he's wearing in First Blood, walking up, same backpack, same jacket, probably not the same jeans, but same
general outfit.
Ensemble.
Yeah.
Walking up to like a farmhouse in wherever the
do
Texas,
we know?
I guess.
Are we supposed to know?
It says Rambo on the
it says
box.
Our Rambo.
Oh, it does say our
so
Rambo.
I'm assuming it was supposed to be his father's.
Okay,
because
yes,
there's a line in Rocky IV where somebody asks
Rambo IV.
Sorry, God damn it. thank you. Where there's a line in Rambo IV where one of the missionaries asks him if he has any family, and he says a father, maybe.
Oh, that's true.
And
okay,
so,
that's fair.
And so. So I just took it as like
this is his dad's.
That's his dad's ranch.
Got
now,
it.
I am interested to understand how someone who grew up on the Mexican border talks like that,
like Rambo.
Yeah,
I mean, I will say he. Okay, we've talked about Stallone's acting ability. He doesn't need to stretch very far.
Right,
he sticks with that voice, and we're just like, yeah, man, okay, fine,
yeah,
sure.
And he has done some very good performances in
absolutely
the right role. Like, I'm not saying he's not a good
no
actor.
No, no,
but when I hear great actor, I think like Meryl Streep. Yeah. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Sylvester
De Niro
Stallone
in his prime. Like, right. I don't think Stallone, although he has turned in some very, very good performances.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he goes we open back up on that ranch, and he's, you know, tending horses, and he's got I guess it's his.
Are we supposed to think this is his sister died and this
so
is
So I have
her?
To believe this is his sister's kid. The girl is his niece.
I think it was just, I took it as it was just somebody that he kind of
I don't
ran
think
across.
I don't think there's a blood relation.
And he took them under his wing.
Yeah, I don't think.
But he knows who the sister is.
I think this
like,
is.
He gives a whole backstory as to like.
Well, he talks about like he pulled the husband off the sister as he was beating her.
Right.
And I just took it as like he stumbled across that and then kind of took this family under his wing.
Oh,
see. Yeah. And that's the part where I had confusion, too, because watching the movie and talking about the sister died and everything, I was thinking that, yes, that's his sister. And we get her little backstory and all that. But then as the movie went on and they talked about family and everything, I took it more as an adopted family.
That's
kind of
how
so
I took it.
Okay, I wasn't clear on it, but
no,
I thought the same
no,
thing that you
there's
did.
No...
I don't believe there was a real clarification, but you presumed the one thing, and then you were like, oh, well,
then
maybe
he calls,
not.
Then he calls her his daughter at one point, but
well,
I think that was just kind of
somebody
like,
referred to her as his daughter, and he didn't correct that.
Right, right. That's right, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, and things for John Rambo have... I guess leveled out for the most, except
normalized.
For the weird. We say normal until we look at the tunnels. So
right.
We're just like, well, maybe not so normal.
Yeah, Chekhov's tunnel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you have this intricate series of tunnels under your farmhouse. How handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you met my friend Kevin McAllister?
Oh yeah,
I know.
I definitely think there's an alternate universe because I said the same thing. I even tweeted it out right
first.
I'm like, Rambo is actually grown up Kevin McAllister. Like, there is an alternate universe where
that's hilarious. Yeah. So they, you know, she kind of
you got some timeline issues with that theory, though.
Well, I mean, but it's an alternate universe. It's,
oh, okay.
it's a different. So when this movie comes out, I'm definitely setting the Home Alone like setting traps music
I feel
to him setting the traps. Like,
I feel like it's.
it's the three of them. It's Rambo, Kevin McAllister, and the girl from You're Next.
Yeah.
They're like all in a group together.
Is that the other one? I'm like, because I know there was another crazy one that was like a Home Alone-esque setting booby traps.
That's
and stuff.
Exactly what it was. Okay. So he's kind of living his normal life. He still has some PTSD issues that he's dealing with.
But he's basically retired from that. Like, he's just trying to break in horses and live life.
That's
on
all he
the
wants
farm.
To do. Yeah.
Digs tunnels for fun in his free time.
Who doesn't like to dig a good tunnel?
Yeah.
And have like a sweet, like melting pot in your tunnel.
Yeah.
An
armory, you mean?
Yeah, right. No, he's well. Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean,
yes,
it's a,
it is.
He's forging weapons down there, is what he.
Yes, he is. I was hoping to see that giant machine gun from like
he brought
three.
It back with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, not four, but three.
Oh.
Oh, no, that's two where he shoots
up
all the
computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And she, like, the niece or the girl, the teenager kind of says, she's like, look, I need to go to Mexico to fight. Like, her dad has took off on him. And she wants her friend Jazzy,
Giselle or
oh
something.
Giselle, yeah. Okay, which is way better than Jezebel. So she goes, she says like, look, my dad's in Mexico. They know where he is. I'd like to go see him. And Rambo's like, no, you can't go to Mexico.
What? It was Sylvester Stallone.
Was
pretty good.
A little
is he
more
on Skype. What's going on?
It's a little more nuanced than that.
It's not Kevin at all. And basically says you don't like. He's not a good man. He's a piece of garbage. You don't want to go see him. And she's just like, okay, fuck.
Definitely a cautionary tale. Listen to your parents.
Yeah, right.
Because this is what happens.
Giselle, Jezel.
Okay. And then she tells the grandma this. And then finally she agrees. He kind of like says, you know, this is the deal, blah, blah. And she goes to the grandma and the grandma's like, you can't, like, basically I'm going. Like, I've thought about it after last night. I'm going. She's like, you can't go. Like, he left you behind. He never saw your mother while she was dying of cancer.
Basically, this man's more of a father to you than he ever was.
Right.
Referring to Rambo, he pulled your father off of your mother when he was beating her as she was getting chemotherapy treatments. Like,
right.
This guy's a big piece of trash, basically.
Yes,
and so
exactly.
Rambo was trying to avoid telling her that, saying he's not a good guy. And then, but the aunt or whoever.
I think it's her grandma.
Okay, is like laying it out. This is right. How it is. And then she gets upset. Rambo's like, you know, promise me you won't go.
He even said, like, I think he even acquiesces a little bit where he's just like, let her, like, maybe if she needs to go, she needs to go. Like,
he didn't say that, but he does kind of back off of her.
He
says, like, don't, you know, she doesn't need to hear all those details.
Oh,
and she's
okay,
like, yes,
okay.
She does. She needs to understand or else she's not going to get this idea out of
right,
her head as well.
Right.
You know, so she's yelling at her and the girl's in tears and all that, but, you know, then, like, later on, he's back to breaking horses, and she's like, sorry about earlier, I'm totally not going to Mexico. And he's like, love you, bye.
And she takes off, and then, of course, she decides to go to Mexico. And then she's missing. She goes to Mexico.
I thought this scene was kind of made me laugh. Not, I don't think that was their intent, but where, like, they show her driving.
Man, it was so bad.
And then
the green screen
and then
driving.
The green screen was
holy
bad.
Guacamole.
But then she pulls over on the road. And she thinks
hard.
And then we see her turn around. And I'm like, well, we never knew where she was going in the first place. So the whole turning around
could have
just as easily meant she wasn't going to
Mexico.
But I'm just like, you know, you have to drive past. If you're turning around, you're driving back past the ranch. Like, I'm sure he's just like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. The one car. In
well, that ranch sits really far off
that
the
road. That is true. Yeah.
So the fourth Rambo ends with him walking up the road.
Yeah.
Oh, and those 9 years actually took him to get to the
it's the credits roll. It's like 3 to 4 minutes of credits of him walking.
It's a long road.
Up this road. And because I also thought it was funny that the Rambo 4 was like 91 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it had 11 minutes of credits.
Oh.
Like
that's
I was
pretty good.
I was just 11 minutes of
this one.
So,
also,
so apparently someone was contractually obligated to turn in a 90 minute movie. And so they.
Oh, the 11 of the 91 minutes is credits.
Yes.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yes. And I mean, like normally, 11 like
minutes
if you,
standing ovation,
if you get 11 minutes of credits, it's because
you're the Avengers.
It's Infinity War. And there's like 47,000 computer people working on the movie. Right.
Right.
Like there's. There's none of that on a movie like Rambo 4.
No.
Baby's born on during the movie process.
And it's like 11 minutes of credit. Because I was like, I was watching, I was finishing up before I left for work, and I was like, it was, was playing on my laptop, and I was like, okay, well, okay, this is going to be over. I'm going to be out of the door at like 8 o'clock. And like at like 8:47.
I got to go.
At 8:47, or 7:47, it's like he's done, and I'm just like, what? And I'm like, sure as hell, there's... There's 11 minutes of credits in this
damn
thing.
This one also has a very weird ending credit.
Oh, I thought that was one of the best parts of the movie.
Are
you kidding me? I loved going back and seeing all the old
footage. You mean when
they
go back and show
and
you the exact same movie we
watched? No, it's weird that they put it together because you just watch it. I turned to my friend and I'm like, oh, you get to watch it twice for one ticket price. No, but I really liked how they cleaned it up in super high def and like showed you, and the slow motion was really good how they did it. Like, I enjoyed the end credits of it a lot.
I was fine until we're just like, oh, we're just gonna replay the movie then.
But she heads to Mexico, and her friend ends up selling her
The grandma even says she's like that. She's not a, like talking about the friend. She's like she's not a good person. She's like she's changed. And I was like, well, we know that's not true.
This is traditional dumb kid who thinks they know and they don't.
So this is where the problem starts.
Okay,
is every Mexican person we meet in this movie are bad guys? Every single one are deplorable human beings, and then they have no issue getting across the criminal element has no issue getting across the border back into the United States, and this becomes like
they're like drug lord
making my case for me. Like, every Mexican person we meet in this movie is a criminal, which is what the president has been saying since he took office.
This movie isn't a 3-hour movie. We don't have time to meet all. I mean, we're only meeting the bad
guys. Doesn't matter, man. Like, in the current climate we are in, when you take every single Mexican person and make them a rapist and a murderer and a gang lord.
What about the reporter?
Okay, so one person.
Okay, well, that's not every single one. No, but the doctor that helps the reporter.
But they're not characters that we see for more than two minutes.
But basically, the Mexicans in this movie fall into two camps.
Yeah.
Villains, victims.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem. In the current climate we are in, that is a problem.
I honestly, when the movie first started, I thought when I saw the tunnels, I was like, is he helping Mexicans get across the border?
Which would have been interesting.
At first, I thought he was
because
using
also
the tunnels for something.
The way Rambo 4 kind of presents him is he's kind of like, borders are dumb.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, the Civil War is going on and that stuff. So like, I could have seen the character evolving into that.
Right.
And so I was just like, well, this could be interesting.
It could have been.
And
it's not.
It is not the direction they chose
at all.
I get what you're saying, and especially the climate, but that's what I was trying to ask earlier is back in the 80s and the 90s, whenever you're villainizing a certain group of people who are the enemy at the time, in that climate, it's always going to stand out.
But the Mexicans aren't the enemy. They aren't our enemies, right? We don't have.
There's a drug problem.
Sure.
I mean, I'm saying
a drug problem, which is why he had to go rescue his stepdaughter from Purdue Pharma.
Right. Tom's not wrong.
I'm just saying, like, the predominant drug problem in this country right now has been brought on by the pharmaceutical corporations. And yes, Mexican drug cartels were selling heroin to people, but they were literally targeting cities that had the largest pill mills that had popped up, because those pill mills were a sign of where do people have an opioid addiction. And then they would go there and they'd be like, hey, now that you can't afford prescription drugs anymore,
try this
heroin, because it's the exact same thing. The pill was just heroin in pill form. It's the exact same active ingredient.
Yep.
And so they would target those areas, and they were brilliant. I mean, they were brilliant.
Yeah, it's a business model.
That some of the other things that the Mexican cartels would do is they deliberately picked areas that didn't have a gang problem, right? They'd like, we don't want a turf war. They're like, they figured out if we're not killing people, like with guns,
right,
they'll just send us home. And then the cartels in another batch, or even the same batch, right back, right, of people. And so they like weren't allowed to carry guns. they got into a very customer service oriented model. They had a beeper and you would beep them and then they would bring you the drugs and like they would deliver. They would only operate from like 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Yep.
And they were done. And so like you had to get your orders in and then if another drug cartel moved in to their turf, right? Because they knew if we get in a fight, right? If we shoot at them, then now we're going to raise everybody's red flags and we're all going to get arrested and we're going to do real time and nobody wants to do real time.
Yeah.
So then you know what happened? They still had a war. They had a price war. And it got cheaper. And it got better at being delivered.
Jeez.
And they brought it to you faster. And like when you went to rehab and got out, they'd call you up, see how were doing. They'd bring you over your first stuff for free as a get out of rehab courtesy gift.
Yep.
Like, I mean, like this is all documented.
Yep.
Like and part of the reason it went on for so long is because there was no violence attached to it. And so police were like, well, junkie wants to be a junkie. What am I going to do?
What are we going to do about it?
You know? And then finally police started to connect the dots that like, oh geez, like we're arresting the same people over and over again, and I'm not the only small town in Iowa that this is occurring in.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, but again, that all started because there was a market created by pharmaceutical corporations.
Bingo.
The Stackler family are a drug cartel, and don't let anybody tell you different.
Yep.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. I'm sorry
because Kevin's got to edit that
out. It's totally true. Like, that's the thing. Is like that is the problem with this movie. And he murders a lot of Mexicans.
And they take great pains to say these are really bad people.
Right.
But you're not wrong. There's no real balance to it.
Not at all.
You've got
the quote unquote conservative hero.
Yeah.
Murdering.
And yes, the reporter is a nice Mexican. But I will also say there are only nice female Mexicans.
That's true. Hmm. Yeah, and you see the doctor and the doctor's only doing a favor for her.
And yeah, but it doesn't mean he's bad.
We don't know that. We see him for literally a minute.
He came to patch someone up that he didn't have any business with. I mean, it just.
So you're gonna hinge your argument on a character that we see for 1 minute?
I'm just not looking at this through a political lens, though. I think in this climate that, yes, I can see how you can take it that way because it's climate we're in, but I think they're the bad guys. I think that they gave him an enemy, and right now in this climate, but I think in the 80s or 90s, I think that there's been a lot of bad guys where everyone you see is a bad guy, and in that climate, they appeared, you could make that point out of it.
Right, but in like Rambo 2, they all had uniforms on. Right. Like he was always fighting people
in a uniform.
Mm-hmm. So it was like so the Russians were the bad guy. But one, we were in a cold war with Russia.
Right.
Like, you know, no one disputed that.
Yeah.
You know, even Russia didn't dispute that. Right. But he was he wasn't going to, you know, Leningrad and just shooting people.
Mm, right.
Like he was fighting Russian soldiers. Mm.
Yeah.
Right. And in Rambo 3, he's fighting Russian soldiers. And in Rambo 2, it's Russian soldiers and Vietnamese soldiers.
Mm. Who were still, I mean, kind of, I mean, I hesitate to even call them the bad guys in, what, 85?
Well, they were, in the context of that film, they were holding POWs.
Right.
So they were bad guys.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. But, and I don't even necessarily think Stallone's intent was like Mexicans are bad.
Yeah.
But I think it is very ham-handed,
right,
and inartful.
Yeah.
The people he uses as villains in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Like it's and that in this climate it does send a message, intended or otherwise, to certain people that want to already believe that.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's in this climate that's where you get the problem, but I don't think that was the intent either.
But art is interpreted within the climate it comes out in. That's the nature of art.
That's where we are.
But like in my mind, these villains were the cartel. Like
I think that's what they would tell you.
Sure.
But I think that's the intent, though. Yeah. I really do. I mean, I think that they're saying that people that are involved in human trafficking, illegal drugs, murdering people. You know, I think they're saying that these are the villains And yes, in this climate, it may have been a bad choice.
Yeah.
You know, and because of what, how it may be weaponized or used.
I would have just liked, I too would have liked to see a little bit more nuance around this particular, not to make the bad guys nicer, but to show that, like, maybe it's not just, you know,
not just one class of people, one race of people are the bad guys in the, you know, but like you said, in this current climate,
or that, it's been that ethnic group has many factions.
Right. And even, I mean, even to go, I mean, the whole board, the whole build a wall thing is like the thing that he's been saying is like, it's so easy for the criminal element to come across the border. Well, in this movie, freaking like 7 or 8 Humvees full of bad guys come across the border. No problem.
Come across the border. They tunnel underneath and they pick up their cars on the other side.
Where did we ever see that?
In the movie?
I never saw that.
They took a tunnel underground. They showed it in a montage whenever they kill the brother, which we'll probably never get to because we're not in this.
Well, I mean,
but
we'll
they kill the brother
fast.
And they go on. They show them with their guns and stuff. They go under an underground tunnel and they come out on the other side of the border and then they pick up their cars and stuff with their contacts there and then they head to the ranch.
Is that really what? I don't remember that at all. I just remember a
when they were all
scene.
Suiting up again their guns and stuff. There's a whole montage of Rocky preparing intermixed with the
Why
guys.
Why would Rocky prepare for this movie? Well,
no, I did it. No, he did it. It's contagious.
So, okay, so
they use the tunnels from Fast and Furious.
Yeah, right. So basically, his niece goes missing. She goes to see her dad, who does a complete 180 character.
That was so weird.
He's like, oh, you look just like your mother. And she's like, I just got to know. And like to that actor's credit, she's like, why did you leave? And he was like, F you.
Yeah.
I don't like
terrible.
You. Well, you know what? He didn't even do that. Yeah. It was so hurtful because he was so calm.
Yeah.
Because I never cared about
but it's
you
like
or
he
your
didn't
mother.
Start off like that at all.
No.
It was the writing in these parts is just so bad because I don't care. Even if you're a bad guy, I'm sure you would have answered the door and been a pretty bad guy. Like,
right.
The way he turns is just weird.
Well, I think they were trying to present it as like once he was out of earshot of his current family.
Oh, sure.
But I just don't think that he's like peaches and cream to his current family.
No.
But the daughter
that
they left
sociopathic
behind. Sociopathic to his previous
right, bizarre,
family.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just kind of get better.
It was bad, but she gets all
upset. She gets
upset.
All busted up. So Jazzy,
whatever.
Takes her out. She gets drugged while she's in Mexico. I mean, again,
she knows
the stereotype.
She was setting her up. She was on the phone with the guys.
Right. So she goes missing. Rambo realizes that she's been gone for a couple days. He's like, I'm going to Mexico. He goes after the dad first, which I like. This is the Rambo that I like, where it's like he gets in the dude's face and the dude's like,
yeah,
he's going to eat my face. Like there's no doubt in my mind. He's going to tear my throat out. Didn't he tear somebody's throat out in four?
Or
three?
It was four.
Okay.
He tore
somebody's throat. Literally tore their throat out. So I liked that scene. I was like, okay, intimidating. This is the Rambo that I've been wanting.
Goes
to the girl.
You can tell that like, I wonder what the budget was on this.
Couldn't have been much.
It says $50 million.
That's insane to
me. Am I on the right movie?
45 of it went to Stallone.
And the other 5 went to the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He goes to the girl, and she's given her sob story. And of course, there's the Chekhov's bracelet, where we see the bracelet on the daughter.
Yeah.
And of course, it shows back up on her, and Rambo's like, I will gut you here and not think twice about it.
Yeah. I mean, pretty good explanation for that, though, that it was her mother's who died. He would have never given
it.
She gave it to me, and he knows
he's
she
like,
would have never.
And he pulls out the Rambo knife and sticks it into the table.
Yeah.
Goes to the club, kidnaps the guy that drugs her. And this was a gnarly, like, I was like, okay, I'm in. Like, if this is what we're doing from here on out.
There are some great practical effects.
Totally.
I'm telling you, the last act of this movie and then this little stuff intermixed in between, they did all practical for the most part.
I believe it. It works.
And
there's
a
reason it's as gnarly as it is.
Yeah, it shows you the huge difference between CG and practical.
Absolutely.
Because you can feel practical, and when it's done right, it looks real. And so this movie made me, like, tense up, where I'm like, oh, because it looked so real.
So he gets this guy, and he takes the Rambo, like the butt of the knife, and smashes his collar and breaks his collarbone
and starts
like,
pulling it out.
Well, that was like, he doesn't do that yet, but that's the initial thing, is he smashes his collarbone, kind of stabs him in the leg, drags him out, throws him in the car. Oh no, we're already at the car. This is where he's attacking a woman, not Rambo, the other guy. Collarbone, leg, drives him to wherever they need to go, and he digs into his shoulder and pulls out the broken collarbone.
He's like twisting it, and
he pulls it out. Like you can see the bone when he's like, you know what? I like this bone. Crack. Yeah. So he goes to the cartel, and he's kind of doing recon. And all of a sudden, he realizes he's maybe in a little bit over his head at this point, because there are bad guys everywhere in this little village. Like he
and
is.
Rambo isn't exactly the stealthiest,
but he
human
is
being.
Though.
What do you mean?
In every movie, in First Blood, he sneaks up on all those cops.
Right.
In Rambo 3,
but
he covers himself in mud. And,
he's 71 years old.
Yeah, but those skills
I'm
don't
just saying
go
he's
away.
Old and, I mean,
but
he's
the sneaky
not...
part is the part that should be the easiest at that age. Not the punching and running and jumping.
Running gun.
I think it shows that he's old and he's retired from that life. And I think it fits with what this movie's setting up. Fine. I mean, he's still doing all this stuff, but also he's like maybe out in the light a little too much. And like,
yeah, the one guy, he's like standing on like a corner and a dude sees him.
I just feel like he's old and out of practice. This isn't his life anymore. And he has to go back into it to save the only person that matters and the only person that brought him out of his PTSD.
Yeah.
You know, and so I like a lot of what they set up. It's just, it's a very poorly crafted movie,
yeah,
but the idea of it is there. And, and it's too bad that they couldn't have crafted a better script to, you know, help this idea along for what Rambo
and the
would
dude can
to.
Write. Like Stallone can write. Yeah, and he wrote this. Like he has a story credit.
Okay.
I don't think he has a script credit. So he goes and he gets surrounded, and finally he says, you know, I just wonder. He's not leading on that he can speak Spanish, but he can speak Spanish. Finally, they call the girl.
Well, they take his gun. They take his knife and a picture.
He does have a screenplay credit, by the way.
Oh crap! Yeah. Well,
and a picture of the girl, and he says, "Who is this to you?"
And he won't say anything. And finally, he calls her a whore. Like and he Rambo flips.
Yeah,
and he realizes,
so, "Who is this, your daughter?" And I don't think he really says anything back. But they're basically
he says yes.
Oh, okay.
He says it's my daughter.
Okay,
yeah.
And they beat the crap out of him.
They do, and then they kind of say
one brother. The cartel's run by two brothers. Yeah. One says kill him, and the other says I'm going to leave him alive to let you know that now I would have ignored her, but now we're going to really treat her poorly.
And
you know?
He cuts up Rambo's face,
yeah.
Which I was like, so now he has a scar on both sides of his face,
yeah,
because it doesn't get cut up in
he gets
two,
cut
three?
In two,
yeah.
He gets the they take the Russian guy like
right.
Space open.
And I was like, where's all those scars from the other one?
Yeah,
I'm like he should be all scarred up. Yeah, I know. Well, you ain't kidding, brother. And every interview I see with him now, I'm like, man, you got some. Your face isn't moving at all when you talk. So the journalist that we see kind of throughout takes him, gets a doctor, gets him stitched up. And then
like, you know, that she's set up in the bar when he's trying to find the bad guys.
I thought she was a cop.
Well, I thought she was a cop too, following the cartel and they were going to team up, but you knew that it was like, they were making you think like, oh, is she like working with them and is going to tip them off? But you know, you're supposed to realize
that she's I supposed to think that?
No,
but
I thought she was
one
a
of
cop.
Those setup where it's like, usually they set up like a guy watching, so, you know, but, she ends up, she's following a story. She's a journalist.
Yeah, her sister ends up, was kidnapped by the cartel and died.
I just figured, because honestly, every movie since, except the first one, he partners up with a girl.
That's true. He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got the Vietnamese lady that he partners up with in two.
Right.
Which is, watching it now, I'm like, classic James Cameron. Got a tough lady
that's
in there.
Right.
She
that's
was.
Right.
She would. She shot.
She fought.
People
she
and
fought
stuff.
Side by side with him.
Yeah.
And then does he go back? Like, so he heals up, and goes back and gets the girl, and then he goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he heals up, goes back, gets the. I liked this scene too, where I was like, "Oh, you're all dead." Like all of these guys who are running this.
All the action scenes were really well done.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's the acting
it's
and the writing.
It's
that's
the
not,
stuff that surrounds it. Yeah. When they finally get to action, it's pretty good.
This is a well. I mean, just like four was gnarly and gruesome and good action, but there was more of it throughout the whole thing. This movie, when it gets into it, that stuff's done well. But man, and some of the takes is like, did you not think you needed a second take? Did you just go with the some of it's rough.
I think, and I've never seen
the rehearsal.
I've never seen this director before, so maybe he just got, you know, Stallone's like, we're good. He's like, oh yes sir, we're good, thank you very much sir,
because Stallone directed the last one.
Yeah And he directed Balboa.
Well, maybe Stallone should have directed this one,
maybe,
but he directed another conservative
action
hero movie,
which was
Get the Gringo with Mel Gibson.
Oh shit. Well,
I've never seen it.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not like it's but it's It maybe I need to rewatch it. Initially,
well, back to this one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he goes into this whorehouse, and she's
all been, the girls are drugged up.
She's and he pulls it, he shows her arm, and she's just been loaded up with heroin. And he kind of gets her out, and he kills everybody. Yeah. I do like.
Can we call it a whorehouse?
I don't know. Because no, probably like, not.
Because they're not there because they want to be.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you can't. That's true. And the girls won't leave. And finally, he's just like smashing
like
in doors.
Like they're scared to leave.
Yeah.
Like,
he is taking everybody out. So he grabs the girl. He runs out. They're on their way back to the States.
It's a tough scene. He's talking to her,
but also
says,
like he drives through a fence. Where I was like, "There's your your thing for the wall."
I really liked the moment when he's trying to get these girls to leave and they won't.
Yeah,
because I felt like it spoke to the problem, right? Like it was kind of a metaphor of intentional or otherwise, but it worked as a metaphor of like he wants to be the white knight that's going to come in and save these girls and fix this problem, and he's not gonna be
right.
That's true. You're just not gonna be. Yeah. But that also kind of reverses what we've established about this character in the last movie, where he's like, "Don't go help because you can't."
Right.
Like even though he got certain people out of the situation in Rambo 4, he didn't walk away like I saved the day.
Sure. It's a bigger problem. Sure. Right. You can't. Yeah.
Like yeah.
So yeah. So he goes home. She dies. So
but it's a tough scene. I mean, she's apologizing, and he's like, "No, don't apologize, not you." And he's keep your eyes open. And she eventually nods off and
dies.
She's gone.
Yeah. So he has to take her back to the
stuff. And she was the only thing. I mean, that's what I really like about this is Rambo.
He goes
everything.
Yeah.
He's been through. It's like he's got this whole movie is about his PTSD and struggling with you know all his post war issues and killing, and now he's living this normal life, and it's grounded because of her. And he's taking care of her, and when she dies he has nothing left.
Well, he goes back to being Rambo.
Yeah,
like that's the he is a different character until she mm-hmm. dies.
Yeah,
and as soon as this girl dies he's back to that character.
He has nothing left. He's a man with nothing
right
to live for.
Right. So he buries her and the Rambo and the grandma bury her, and he kind of says there's nothing for you here. Like, you can just go ahead and go.
Yeah. You
and
gots she, to go.
You gots to go.
And he says, I'm just going to keep traveling. Like, right.
Well,
don't
so
worry
he,
about me.
Yeah, so he suits
walk
up.
The earth like Kane.
Like Kane
and
Kung Fu. He suits up, and he goes back to Mexico, and he kills, like, one houseful of cartel dudes. Kills the brother.
Well, he prepares his stuff.
He comes back.
There were two prep scenes.
Yeah, I don't think
because
so.
Because
he could
have
done all that the night before.
I remember thinking they have this prep scene. He goes to Mexico and he comes back and they have more prepping. And I'm like, do we need more prepping?
Yeah. I
think
I'm 100%
he was loading those magnesium bullets.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I'm 100% positive because as soon as they bury or whatever, he starts prepping it and then he does the catalyst, which is kill the brother. Because I was thinking how he was doing all the prep first and I go, okay, so he's going to presume that they're all going to come after him and fall into his traps.
Right.
And then he goes kill the brother. I'm like, oh, that's how he gets them to these traps.
Okay. I get you. Because
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, this is a really big
Why
reach.
Are you doing all this prep and know that they'll come after you?
Right.
So I just specifically.
Okay. That's fair.
But then he comes back and does a little like final prep kind of
thing. You want to make, you want to dot your I's.
Exactly.
Your, you know, cross your T's.
Because it's like a one night difference. So like he's just going to like finish some of his bullets and make sure the traps are there or whatever. And that's when that's the final prep montage where he's preparing and it's mixed cut between them going underneath the border and they come out and get their cars and everything.
So, okay. So this is probably, So this is what
they're
happened.
Playing Eye of the Tiger
in the theater at this moment, there is a row of 17 year old males in front of us. One kid stands up and like walks in the middle of the aisle. This is probably why I don't remember this scene is because he walks in the middle of the aisle and his face, like I can't see him, but he's facing us and he just starts talking to his friends. And finally I go, you might want to check your time code. Sit the fuck down. And he was like, what? And then Spath was like, sit the fuck down. And the kid's like, oh, you could have asked politely. Like, and
does he not know he's in a movie?
Yeah, that's my thing. And
like,
I was like,
turned around standing
there was,
up.
There was more F-bombs delivered at that point. And I finally, at one point, all of his friends turn around and I was like, well, this is going to go one of two ways. And finally, like he looked at me and I just looked at him square in the face and I said, sit down or get out. And he was like, ooh, and like his buddy stood up and I was like, oh, shit, here we go. And then they both like darted out of the theater.
And they both left? They never left. Returned?
They may have come back. I don't know.
God, I'd be worried they'd be waiting to jump you or something.
If I get beat up by a 17-year-old, I will turn in my gun and badge.
I'm just saying. But you never know what they've got or who they
No, that's
is.
True. That was a I moment. Just,
that
where
worries
I,
me where
I
they
told,
leave and
I
you're
told
like.
Spath, I was like, should we wait?
Yeah, like I would. I mean, it's a valid concern.
But
who knows
yeah,
what they've
it was,
got
it was just like.
You.
So that's probably why I don't remember
well,
any
yeah,
of that
that's,
scene.
Yeah, context. Yes.
Okay.
So.
So yeah. So the cartel shows back up, and of course, he sets like he the explosions, and you know he sets the yeah. he's basically leading them into the tunnels. Like
this
that's,
is the
that's
Kevin
the,
McAllister.
It's exactly it.
He's setting the tunnels up with I mean gnarly traps, spike pits, rakes that are going to pop up and not just hit you in the head like yeah. Sideshow Bob, right. but they're going to impale your face. Right. It's pretty yeah. gnarly. But
and that's,
C4, I mean, it, shotguns, it's crazy.
Magnesium rounds. Yeah, like it's
yeah, it's
so,
crazy.
And basically that's what this last yeah, sequence is.
The whole
it's just,
last act
like,
is...
Yeah, they, we jokingly said, I was like,
they,
what?
They probably spent like 50%
easily.
Of the budget on
oh,
this
easily.
Last scene.
But this whole last act is the only reason you'd watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's gnarly kills, practical effects, crazy action. I mean...
This becomes a slasher flick.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I was thinking that, too. Like, it took on a very horror element.
It did,
element.
And he's yeah. the killer. Like, he, yeah. you know, these guys, they're just fodder at this point.
Right.
Totally.
Well, and also, it's I thought it was funny, like, they showed, because he takes out a bunch of them initially.
I said, I was
and
like,
I was
what
like,
clown car?
Are these guys, like, reproducing in the tunnels?
Because it's
like, they should be out of people to kill by
people
now.
People just kept showing up, and I was like, how many SUVs? I feel like I only saw three, but all right. They just packed
They're
it
like,
in
Bill,
there.
Put your hat on to the side this time.
Right.
You're going to play a different person.
How many human beings can we fit into one of these yeah, SUVs?
That's a lot.
Like just like a clown car.
But it was, I mean, all the practical effects
this, I had
great.
No problem
I
with this
thought,
ending sequence.
But this is what you were there for. I mean, as far as some action, it's just yeah. the whole setup to it. Again, I like the idea, but it could have been handled much better. But it all culminates to this one thing. If there's one thing to see this movie for, it's the gnarly action.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they do not hold back. It is slasher level horror.
That was the, it is. It absolutely
violence.
Is. It's
it
almost
is.
Like.
But the first one was like that too. No. I mean, not the first one, the last
yes.
one.
But this
the,
is worse.
Yeah.
You know who would make
this? I think this is a style.
I think it's just more compressed.
Okay.
I just watched the last one like this week.
I feel like it was really gross.
And there were scenes where they literally like. Like they shoot at a guy and they took his leg off from the knee down and then he stands there like hopping around while they shoot him again
right.
or something. And I mean, there's
yeah. I mean, I know it's gnarly.
He rips the guy's throat out. Yeah. He liquefies the guy with yeah. the.
That's one of my favorite pictures of all time because it looks like he's just like if you take the gun out, he's giving two thumbs up. Like it's a hilarious picture. But you know who'd make an amazing Rambo movie?
Who's that?
It's Gareth Edwards.
Yeah.
The guy
yeah.
from The Raid. Like why? If you want to make, and maybe Gareth Edwards' politics maybe don't lean the same way, maybe, yeah. I don't know. But I feel like the whole final scene of this is something out of The Raid.
Yeah.
You know, is. Like it's, so finally he kills everybody. He lures.
Except for the brother.
He lures the brother.
And the brother
this,
shot him a couple times, so he's a little wounded.
Sure.
We should say.
And I was like, if you call your movie Last Blood. Shoot him in the chest
yeah.
or shoot
yeah.
him somewhere where it's like, oh, this is I'm not going to live from this bullet wound.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the wounds they made it to
it's
where
his
it was
shoulder
like,
and like, oh, it skimmed my hip.
Yeah.
And but I guess he's old. Maybe
he's
his
bleeding
hips are
a
bad.
Good amount, but it's just like, yeah, they set it up for like yeah, he's hurt. But is he
they're,
really
they're
that
non,
hurt?
They're non-lethal wounds. Yeah. So this is where we get. Does he do the bow and arrow in every movie?
Kind of his thing down
I definitely remember it in 2 and 3 and mm-hmm. 4.
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember if he does it in the first
one. I don't know
one.
If he does in the first.
But
it's like
that's
I feel
an
like that's
iconic scene
thing.
Where he's like ripped to shreds mm-hmm. and he's pulling. So he does it in this one.
Yeah. It's pretty cool because he sets up the target practice with the like Jack, King, Queen, and Ace kind of thing and a weird pattern. And you're thinking, oh, he's just practicing his targets.
Nope.
But he actually knows where to pin the guy. And so he basically like crucifies him against this wall to where he can't move at all. He's got him pinned down.
Yeah, he gets him in the legs and he gets him in the shoulders.
And he says, I'm going to tear your heart out of your chest like you did. Like he sets it up in the tunnel, but I'm going to tear your heart out of your chest like you did to me, which, you know.
I think we both said, well, that's foreshadowing.
Well, clearly he literally meant it because that's what movie we're in here.
Yeah, so he
and
takes,
he does it.
He takes his Rambo blade and shoves it into his chest and drags it all the way down. Now, I have issues with like the logistics of how it would work because like I don't think he's strong enough to literally cut through bone.
Okay.
But whatever.
Yeah, this is the movie,
adrenaline on his side.
I give you that.
And it does not appear that he used it in First Blood.
Okay, all
it
right.
looks like from two on
that was
when,
the bow and arrow, and he tears the dude's heart, legitimately tears his heart out. And I think Spath and I both go, take a bite,
like just, just go complete, just go with it and go completely.
I just
insane.
Wish he would have crushed it in his hand long enough to like the guy could for a second be pulled out and crushed it and then had him die. I would have liked
to
have seen
take
him.
A pencil and stab it like in From Dusk Till Dawn. But yeah, and that's and he kind of he sits on the porch,
goes sit on his rocking chair, and
yeah, and I was like, okay,
never shows him die.
That's what I was like, he's gonna die here, and then he gets on a horse and rides away.
He does? I thought it just ended on the rocking chair. Does he get on a horse?
Yeah,
I thought it pulled out from the house.
No, if you go throughout the entire credit sequence, it gets past the house. Like
I bailed.
And he gets on a horse and rides away.
No,
because that's what he says.
According to Wikipedia, during the credits, Rambo saddles up on his horse and rides off into the binary sunset. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Is he on Tatooine?
Like,
there's only one sun.
Do even sons have gender now? I don't understand.
I don't get that. But I wish they would have left it open.
He should have
died. Of all things, but they could have left it open. They could have cut to black and you decide or they decide with a sequel. But, you know what I mean? Set it up to where, like, yeah, he's probably dead, but they don't show you. That's fine. But to show him right off, come on.
And I do, and it's and he's wearing the same outfit. So I will give him that. Like, I always like that little callback to the outfit from First Blood where it's like the green flak jacket. Jeans and like boots and whatever, you know, the shirt doesn't really matter, but that's kind of like his the uniform for Rambo. But yeah, this was not a good movie. It is not.
The action scenes were good, but
it's not worth getting there.
Everything around it was a little
if you can find a supercut,
even beyond the politics, I felt like
it's not. Yeah,
I just felt like it. And honestly, like I left really wondering, did this start life as a Rambo script? Because
I don't know.
Because honestly, there's nothing about this movie that couldn't have just been a standard
old man action movie.
Old man revenge.
It's a revenge movie.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there was nothing that said, yes, that's absolutely a Rambo movie.
Like,
and that's
easily.
The first of this franchise where regardless of how I felt about the movie, I felt like this could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, if they'd have called this character Steve, this nothing changes about this
movie. Steve Bambo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, nothing changes. You wouldn't have had to make one change except for the flashbacks that you
right.
see.
Right.
If it weren't for the flashbacks and they never said his name, you'd have left wondering,
was this a Rambo
movie? Is this a Rambo or is this not a Rambo movie?
Yeah, I agree. And it's just a, you know, I think the character has legs. I think there are stories
clearly.
You can tell with Rambo, but this was just was not. This was if you could just get.
Well, the creator of Rambo is embarrassed to be attached to this.
I don't blame him.
That tells
I
you,
don't blame him. I mean, granted,
the author
Rambo,
of the book says that he's embarrassed to have his name associated with this garbage.
Still going to cash the checks, though.
Oh, for sure.
Well, yeah.
Without question.
So I didn't know that he mm-hmm. what was his complaint?
He killed Rambo in the first movie.
Sure, and in the book he dies at the end.
Yeah, right.
But he just said that they said they don't understand the character of Rambo at all, and they just thought it was a gross, you know, just a
interesting.
I find it hard to dispute him with this one.
Yeah. With this, yeah. Like, and it's a shame because it's like
I never heard him talk about it with the others, but this one he's just like this is
because I have for the most part enjoyed this franchise. It's like I like one's great, two's great, three not so much. I thought four was great. I was honestly, I don't say this very often. I was honestly going into this looking forward to it.
I was very much looking forward to it.
After that last one, absolutely.
I was just like, especially because, like I said, I felt like they added some nuance to the character.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and it's interesting to, I found it interesting to see that character in the present day.
Yeah.
This far removed from Vietnam. And
sure.
like, what's that mean and what does that turn into? And this, like, I didn't feel ultimately like it gave you any of that.
It was just him killing people.
Yeah.
So the author, David Morrell, says that in a tweet, he said, I agree with these Rambo Last Blood reviews. The film is a mess. Embarrassed to have my name associated with it. Another tweet, I hated the film. And another one, he says, Waterworld is a masterpiece compared to this. Check IMDb for 1976 Trackdown starring Robert Mitchum's son, James, with the same plot. Rambo Last Blood is a clumsy exploitation film.
I find it hard to dispute any of that. Now I kind of want to see that. What was that one? 1970 what?
Trackdown?
Trackdown, 1976.
Well, I'll try to find that one.
So interesting. Apparently it's the same plot.
Yeah. So,
I
guess,
sad day.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Ad Astra.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Asner, as I like to call us.
So until then, Hilt is taken back to the cooler.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.